is taken from the Belgic Confession in Article number 2 and on page 70 in the back of the blue hymnals. So Article speaks about the means that God is made known unto us, or by what means God is made known to us, talking about the natural creation and also special revelation. So let us confess together then. We know him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even his everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says, all which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Second, he makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word. That is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life, to his glory and our salvation. And so in connection with that, I'd like to read, I'm going to switch the order. I'm going to read, first of all, Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6, and then Romans 1, verses 18 to 25. So first of all, Psalm 19 and verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And then reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, speak about man's response to what God has graciously revealed in the creation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we turn our attention to how the one and only true Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has made himself known to his creatures. That was always the intention. The creation of the inanimate world and the human world was all a means by which God would share himself, his glory, so that they would receive that and be benefited from it. And we've seen already the fact that the existence of God is embedded in the creation, is embedded in us. And though there are those that reject that and say there is no God, nevertheless, if you ask people, generally ask people, then the concept of God is something that they all adhere to. And it's only by being pumped by those around them that reject that truth that they live and act as though there is no God at all. But God does want to make himself known. He doesn't sit by and see whether we will discover him ourselves. I mean, that isn't the God that we worship. Our God desires for us to know him and to be at peace with him and to enjoy him, to glorify him, rejoice in him. And so it's important that we understand then the confessions as they draw our attention to that. To know that God reveals himself in two main ways should make us want to take note of those ways. It should make us want to study those ways. It should make us use those so that we can, in fact, come to know God and honor him and glorify him and live as we were ordained to live. But man, of course, as we've read from Romans, from the beginning, thought too much of himself and decided that he was going to find out himself. I mean, even in the garden, Adam and Eve were not created without knowledge. I mean, they knew God. They had knowledge. But they went in another direction. Well, here's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the devil said, well, why don't you take of that and you'll get knowledge. Well, that's already saying that you don't have knowledge and here's a way of getting it. Well, God gave them knowledge. They knew him. They abandoned that. They wanted to know more. And so they got another version of it and regretted it ever since. So as believers then, we need to be instructed and encouraged by the confessions that really only echo what the scriptures teach. I mean, what we read in terms of Article 2 and what we read in the scriptures of Psalm 19 and Romans 1, they say the same thing. They reflect the same truths. And that's what confessions are, as I said before. They're not making up stuff. They're not bringing us new ideas. They're seeking to present us with, in a very systematized way, what the scriptures teach. And of course, the world is full of alternatives. And so you can read philosophies, you can read people's versions of how the creation came to be, what is God, and you can study those. And there's no end to those. But to come and state what the Bible says, I mean, that's to them, that's simplistic. As though somehow that isn't education. That is just by faith, right? And it has no basis. But that's not true, as we will see. So how has God made himself known? Well, the scriptures tell us very clearly, first of all, through the natural creation. It is natural revelation displayed in the creation all around us. We're told that we come to know God by two ways. Notice that God is the one that has taken the initiative in making himself known. It's not man that is searching and trying to find things out, even though he does, because he doesn't want to accept what God has revealed. But God is not left in that way. As I already mentioned, Adam and Eve were not lost. They didn't say, well, who are we? And what is this God? And Who is this God? They knew him. They had a relationship with him. And they enjoyed it. It was profitable. Otherwise, God would not have put angels with swords to keep them out. If it was such a terrible place and a place that they didn't really understand, why would they want to go back? They did want to go back. Because it wasn't that. It was a wonderful place of holiness and righteousness and true knowledge. But man, as they did, got led astray. So we're told, we might ask, how has God done that? Well, we're told in the confession, firstly, by the creation, the preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a beautiful book wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters or letters. So what the confession is saying is that through the world around us, in terms of its existence, God makes himself known. I mean, what other conclusion are you going to come to? When you look at this vast creation, as we've said before, and all the intricacies and the complexities of it and the grandeur of it, I mean, your first approach isn't going to be, oh, there was a bang and all of this happened. I mean, who is going to come up with that explanation? Absolutely no one. Our natural inclination is, you know, what a just an amazing place. What an amazing universe. What great God created that. I mean, what mind made that? What power made that? You know, in our college, they're building a park right opposite the school. And so they've been gathering dirt, and it's been piling up like a, you know, mountain. And they haven't done anything with it. And now all of a sudden they started, and we're really happy about that. So they, you know, but it's a ton of work to move that soil. And they're at it all day. And they haven't done it yet. Can you imagine trying to dismantle Mount Diablo? Day by day? I mean, it took years. It would take ages. The amount of volume of dirt that's in there? Well, to God, that's like a little dust. I mean, all the planets, all the stars. And how they work with one another, how they hang together. You know, the creation has a message. How wonderfully God has made all of these things. The creation itself cries out with one truth, that it is the handiwork of God. But not only that, the confession said, but also the preservation of it. I mean, not only did God make it, but it works. It works wonderfully. I mean, man can make stuff and then it doesn't work. It gets bugs, and so you have to work on it and iron those bugs out. But this vast universe, so many processes that have to rely affect one another, and yet it all works, and it has for thousands and thousands of years. We've never had to call in a creational mechanic, have we? And said, all things are going wrong, it's not working, can you come and fix it? No. It continues, perfectly continues. Again, the truth that this creation didn't just happen, but it was created and it's governed, it's preserved by the hand of God, is clearly portrayed before us. Something that we cannot deny. As I said, everything we make breaks down. And so we have to get it fixed, or we have to chuck it away and get another one. I mean, everything around us is like that. But what God created continues. Century after century, decade after decade, century, a millennia after millennia. And so the creation wants us to look at that, take note of that. Think upon that. I mean, the creation has been put there for your benefit, not only to enjoy, yes, it is given for that, but also to be instructed by it, to be reminded by it, that there is a God, and He's the one that has created it, and it works because He takes care of it. As the sun rises each day, it eagerly and gloriously sheds its light and warmth on everyone. No one can deny the creation around us. No one can close their eyes. No one can say, I don't see it, I don't enjoy it. Everyone partakes of this wonderful creation. And so the truth gets through them. And so they are without excuse. Romans 1:18-25 teaches that what may be known is plain, for He is clearly seen and understood by what has been made. You can't deny it. There's no language, there's no barrier that this truth does not get through to. Every single person. Whether your senses, some of the senses are affected in terms of they don't work correctly. We have five senses. In all of those senses, the creation has an impact. And so the message is able to get through to them. No one can claim ignorance as far as that is concerned. One might think that if it is so clear, how is it that so many claim to be atheists? I mean, why? Why would people do that? But we're given that answer by Paul in Romans 1:18 and verse 25 and 28. The Bible says that such people suppress the truth, they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and they choose to consider such knowledge of God as not worthwhile to retain, much less accept. And we have an example of that right there in the Garden of Eden. I mean, why would Adam and Eve listen to the devil, to something opposite of what God had told them? I mean, they had a relationship with Him. They enjoyed that relationship. Everything was wonderful in the Garden of Eden. They had no needs. So why? Why would they listen? Because that's how subtle the devil is. He will twist things in such a way that we think we're doing the right thing for ourselves. But certainly not the right thing in the eyes of God. Oh, they knew that God didn't want them to do that, that He had commanded them not to do it. He'd warned them. He threatened them that they would surely die. And yet, the devil succeeded in leading them astray to reject what God said and to chart their own path. You know, so often when we think about sharing the gospel with other people, it's important that we understand what people are like. As Paul himself teaches in Romans chapter 3, the character of the people that we are seeking to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, what they are like. Well, Romans 1 tells you something. It says they know that God exists. So forget this idea of having to prove to them that God exists. Don't start there. They already know that. They have that in their hearts. They just won't admit it. And they'll bring out all of these excuses why they don't believe in God. But let the scriptures ring in our ears. They know that God exists. And they choose to reject. And therefore, let's not lay the groundwork that has already been laid by God Himself, but let us challenge them about rejecting God's truth, rejecting Him, exchanging His truth for a lie, rather listening to the devil himself and the wisdom of men, which, by the way, I've mentioned before, James says is demonic. That's what we have to challenge them. Like Elijah, challenging the people. Don't go back and forth as though you don't know. You got to make a choice. And so we have to challenge them to that. To come and bow before God, whom they know exists, and to acknowledge Him. It is so comforting for Christians to know that what we believe is confirmed to us in the creation around them. There's no tension between what God's Word says and what we see in the creation. There's perfect harmony. As there is when we talk about science. There's perfect harmony between science and God's Word. Unless, of course, we believe the conclusions and ideas of ungodly scientists that also suppress the truth. So even though they study God's creation, they always twist it to their own ends. But if we look at the creation, nothing in creation will tell us anything against God's word. Why would it? It is the creation of God Himself. So we have to use our mind then. We have to look at the creation. And we have to listen to it. Not in terms of, by the way, oh, what does it make me feel like? I mean, rather like being in a museum and seeing a picture and think, well, you know, what is it saying to me? No, in light of what we know about the scriptures, when we look at the creation, it confirms to us that, yes, God is the creator. And so we look at the creation in a different way. We look at the creation as a means of glorifying God, thanking Him, being grateful for all that He has done and is doing for us every day, thanking Him for giving us such a vast universe and so, if I may put it that way, so over the top. I mean, so over the top. It's not the bare necessities in this creation, is it? I mean, if that was the case, we would only need maybe one planet and a sun and a moon. We'd be okay. But now we've got billions of them out there. Why? We'll never visit them. They're so far away. But for us to see in the night sky the magnitude of God's creation, it says something about Him. He's not like us. He's beyond our wildest dreams. And so we need to humble ourselves before Him. We need to look at the creation because the creation is so full of the fingerprints of God. And in fact, as you know very well, the Lord Jesus Christ often appealed to the creation. I mean, His parables all about the creation. So not only do they tell us that God exists, but they give us so many illustrations of God's wonderful truths that we read in the scriptures. The creation is like a book. It isn't a book, let me tell you, because we don't want to fall into the trap of others that say, oh yeah, we know God by two books, and it's a book of the Bible and science. And so when we study science, you need to take that with the same weight as you do when you read the Bible. I mean, that's the trap that we've fallen into. And so you say to them, well, wait a minute, it says like a book. It doesn't say it is a book. And so they take us off in that direction. Then they tell us, well, you know, when we're seeking certain things about, you know, how we live and morals and stuff like that, well, we need to consult both books. We need to consult the scriptures, but we also need to consult science and our study of humans. And together we need to come up with how it is that we're to live. I mean, that's the trap. And so now I can't just read the Bible and say, well, it says thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that. Oh, no, now I have to consult the people as they study human beings. And they're going to tell me also. And sometimes they say, science dominates in terms of the creation. That dominates. And sometimes the scriptures. Well, no, we don't fall into that trap. No, the creation never says anything to us that is against God's word. creation bows to God's word. The creation mirrors all that God says. Nothing is going to be at odds with the creation in terms of what the Bible says. So, yes, we're to enjoy the creation. Yes, we're to look at it. Yes, we're to study it. And we're to take it seriously. Let it do what God designed it to do, to increase your appreciation of God, to increase your love and devotion to God and your gratitude to God. Every day we should get up and thank God for all that He allows us to enjoy. When we're down and dejected, then just look at the creation. When you think your life is a mess and somehow God isn't doing anything, then just look at the creation. If He takes care of all the creation, how will He not take care of you? I mean, again, that's what Jesus says. If He so takes care of plants that are here today and gone tomorrow, and He knows even when a little bird falls to the ground, insignificant in our eyes, we might think, but God is intricately involved in that. And Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith, are you not more valuable to Him than those things?" Now, the creation should lift up our spirits every day and not lead us to be away from God. No, there is no excuse for that. It leaves man without excuse. He will not be able to stand before God and say, "Well, it wasn't that clear that you existed. It wasn't that clear who you are." No. No, God will bring them back to His word, to Psalm 19, in Romans 1. "No, I made it plain to you. You knew I existed. You could see that I existed. But you ignored me. You absolutely ignored me. You did what was right in your own eyes." In fact, as Paul says, they act as it were as fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Trying to impress one another, in God's eyes, they became fools. They couldn't even do the ABCs of creation. They wouldn't even pass that class. If God gave them a test in terms of what the creation says, they would get zero because they reject everything that it's saying and they supplant it and put their own truth in its way. And so it says, God, they're without excuse. And so they suffer the consequences. God permits them to go down the path that they choose. And so they hurt one another. They hurt themselves. They hurt society all around us. I mean, how confused is our society? I mean, it's an embarrassment. We're supposed to be the premier nation of the world. And it's an embarrassment. And we can't even tell whether someone's male or female. We don't even know what pronouns to use. It seems they can choose whatever pronouns they want. And this is a height of our knowledge? We hold that up for the world to see and look at us? I mean, even the other nations of the world don't respect that. Even the other nations of the world thinks, what's going on in the United States of America? I mean, how crazy are they after all? But in the States, oh no. In the States, you ascribe to those things you looked up. You're accepted. You're patted on the back. Will you say anything different? No, then all the pressure is brought down on us. No, they actively pursue their own wisdom. And they set aside, they don't blink in terms of setting aside the word of God. You start talking about male and female and that's it, they will get very angry at you. You start talking about a man and a woman in terms of the marriage context, as the Bible says, they get very angry at you. I mean, that's not just having another idea. That's attacking what is true. They hate it so much. Even though, I mean, if they went by, you know, the views of the population, I mean, the number of people that get married, a male and a female, far surpasses any other versions. So why don't we go with the majority? You see, it's not a matter of majority. It's a matter of what we want you to think. To supplant even the Word of God. I mean, they have no shame. They have no fear. And so no wonder the Bible says they are without excuse. Everyone. Everyone. Sometimes people think, unless a person hears the gospel, then it's unfair of God to judge them. And so we get a little squeamish about, unless a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they won't be saved, they will perish. And we think, well, what about, you know, those cases? Well, is there anyone that lives in a hole and spends all their life in a hole? They never come out, they never see the sun, they never see the creation? Well, then it's not true that God has not revealed himself to them. He has. And they've chosen to reject his truth, to live life without God, not to listen to what the creation is saying, and certainly not to submit to him. No, there is this, the creation around us is sufficient enough to declare that anyone that rejects God is without excuse. So notice what it's not saying. It's not saying the creation is sufficient to tell people about the gospel. It never says that. It never says that. But it does leave them without excuse in terms of their attitude towards God, of rejecting him. And so you really don't even have to get to the gospel. They've already turned their backs upon God. And they continue to do so. And so in that sense, Paul is saying they're without excuse and God will hold them accountable. But for us, the creation encourages us every day on so many levels, confirms our faith, confirms what the scriptures teach. And so every day as we go out and we see all of these things, they ought to strengthen our faith. Not make us doubt. Not turn our minds to, what are the evolutionists telling us? Oh, it must be true what they're saying. No, no. If you look at a painting and the artist is there, right by your side, and the artist has written, explaining what you see, I mean, isn't that the correct version? I mean, we don't say, I mean, unfortunately they do. We don't just stand there and whatever you think it is, that's okay. I mean, that's the way it is today. Well, what do you see? What do you think? I mean, everyone says what is right in his own eyes. But no, the creation is not just by itself. Adam and Eve didn't see the Garden of Eden, just the Garden of Eden. They met with God and he talked to them. And so we don't just have the creation, we have the Word of God that explains what it is that we're looking at. And so it confirms what God has revealed. But he hasn't just left us with the creation and everything that goes on in creation. The confessions tell us that there's a second way in which God makes himself known, a more clear way, a more comprehensive way that we will not get from the creation. We'll get certain things from the creation, but not everything. I mean, you're not going to find the gospel just looking at the creation, however long you look at it. We're not going to know about the Trinity by looking at the creation. We're not going to know about all the wonderful things that God has done, other than the creation, of course. No, that comes to us by special revelation. And it is, as it says, makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his word. You might say, well, you know, if it's that, why even bother with a second way? Why not just have the scriptures? But as we've said before, even in terms of studying various subjects, and when we study in terms of books, the laws, and then we go off to the lab and we do experiments to see those laws that we studied displayed in action. Well, in a sense, that's what it is. The scriptures give us the truth of God, but as I mentioned earlier, it's illustrated in the creation. And so if we have that word already in our minds, then we will recognize things in the creation. So it is more clear. It is much more fuller in God's word. So therefore, we have to give that more preference. And so we resist any idea of putting natural revelation and special revelation on the same level. That's a trap of the liberals. And then they're spending all their time in the natural revelation. Well, of course, in terms of their ideas, it's not as easily shown as it is in the scriptures. So no, we do it that, as Calvin said, if you're going to look at the creation, you have to do it through the spectacles of scripture. Because otherwise you're going to go astray. And so we have to allow the scriptures to explain all that we see all around us. And so the scripture must have primacy in terms of our understanding of God. And the scriptures are vital then. Because you understand, if we don't know what the scriptures teach, then we are open to being led astray, like the devil led Adam and Eve astray, giving us different versions or different ways of looking at things, different ways of acting and behaving. And they will argue and argue and argue and pressure us to do that. But when it says it in scriptures, there's no way that they can put that aside other than rejecting it. And of course, that becomes obvious. When they do the very opposite of what scriptures teach, then it becomes obvious. And so we can stand up to them and reject the things that are saying, that they're saying. Now, the scriptures are God's inspired word. And that's something that liberals hate. Because if it's inspired, then they can't argue against it. If it's God's word, they can't pick and choose. And so they have to fight with all of their might to couch the scriptures as words of men. And so since men are fallible and make mistakes, well, then there are mistakes in the scriptures, and we have to weed those things out. It always seems that the things that they weed out are the things that they don't like. And they put other things in their place. No, the scriptures are the ones that leads us. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. So it's only by knowing the scriptures that we can look at the creation and understand that God brought it into being. He didn't use some other material that was already there. No, he called it into existence. The scriptures help us to understand that. Faith helps us to understand that. And without that, we're going to do our own thing and bring our own ideas into it. It is complete. It is full in terms of God's revelation. His eternal power and divine nature are seen in the things that he has created. In fact, all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us by God through the scriptures, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:3. God's word fully equips man so that he is complete for every good work, as Paul says to Timothy. We're told of the things the creation does not speak. We're told about them in the scriptures. It is sufficient for everything that we need. It condemns unbelief. It calls us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God cannot be challenged. It cannot be put aside. If we allow that to happen as believers, we are dismantling God's defenses. We're putting them aside and exposing ourselves. And if we think we're so strong, then we only have to look back to Adam and Eve. No, as Christians, we must have the highest esteem for the Bible. We must read it more and study it more. It is the spectacles by which we understand everything around us. It reveals to us the way of life for us. If we do not constantly read and meditate on it, you can be assured that you will, to a certain degree, add your own sinful wisdom to it and begin to live by that rather than God's word. And at that point, we stand with sinful man in rejecting God's revelation and replacing it, exchanging it with a lie, and it will end up damaging us. You want to be sure that you are believing the right things and behaving in a godly way? Then believe only what the Bible teaches and act only in accordance to God's word, even if all the world around us ridicules that and pressures us to change. They will always do that, and they have always done that. But God has not left us without knowledge. He's given us his word, infallibly given, preserved by God so that you and I can continue to read God's word. As we were saying this morning, what a privilege we have. All the prophecies that God wants us to know, everything that he wants us to know, he is given in a way that makes no mistakes. It's infallible. It's inspired. And he's preserved it over thousands of years. He's kept it so that we can continue to read it. We are equipped with everything that we need. But as soon as we put it down, we endanger ourselves. And we see that in action all around us. We see churches that deviate. And we see them going along that line where they deviate a little bit, and then they become false churches because they reject the word of God. They end up rejecting the gospel. No, we need to stand firm. And the confessions do us a great service in focusing our mind and laying it out so clearly, positively, so that we can enjoy the creation and listen to what it's saying and be confirmed in our faith, and the scriptures to guide us to God himself and to enjoy him so that we might glorify him every day of our lives. Word, God's word alone should continue to be not only the slogan of the Reformation, the slogan of all God's people, always. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you are a communicating God. Unlike the idols, they cannot see, they cannot talk, they cannot understand, they can't move. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you have spoken, and you have spoken at length. From the beginning of time, you continue to speak now to us through your word. And so, our Father, we pray that you've opened our hearts and minds, and we pray that we might open our ears, that we might meditate on your word, to seek to understand it, so that we can live lives of righteousness and holiness in accordance with your wonderful truth. Our Father, protect your church. Protect churches up and down this land and across the world against the pressures that society brings on it. Lord, they may reject us, but let us never reject your word. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond and stand as we sing from the Blue Hymnal, number 380.